I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As Americans, we don't much believe in or abide in royalty. Sure, we are fascinated by royal weddings and baby royals, but we don't have much use for a monarchy, do we? And this all started in the way back with George Washington. There he is. He was unanimously, think about this, he is unanimously elected president. And there are some who thought he should take the next step at that point and declare himself monarch. He should become king. After being addressed as His Excellency all throughout the Revolution, Washington steps away from monarchy. And he simply insists on being addressed Mr. President. And it has stuck. As Americans, we are hardwired to reject kings and queens. Now, I remember an old episode of I Love Lucy. Everybody does I Love Lucy. And Lucy and Ricky and Fred Nethel are in England, and they're going to meet the then 30-year-old Queen Elizabeth II. And Lucy and Ethel are driving themselves and each other crazy, practicing their curtsies to make sure they get it just right. But grumpy old Fred says, I'm going to meet the queen. I'll just slip her the grip and say, hiya, queen. And of course, as the episode evolves and Fred does meet the queen, he stammers and stutters and he's a nervous wreck. Holy cow, he's thinking, and we would think it as well. I am standing next to the Queen of England. Wow. Now, I have to admit, you can take that one down, Mark. I have to admit that for about 51 weeks out of the year, I don't think a whole lot about royalty. And I don't think much about Jesus being the King of Glory, the King of Kings. I don't think really about Jesus as royalty except on this Sunday. This is Christ the King Sunday in our liturgical year. This is actually the last Sunday of our church year. This is the last of the green on the communion table and on the cross. And if it doesn't clash too much with our Christmas colors, we'll be moving to purple next week. Purple being the color of royalty, the royal color. It's a sign that the King of Glory is about to be born into the world. Now, I tend to pigeonhole Jesus Christ. I really do. Because I'm just like Walmart, man. I have moved on already. I'm done with the rabbi preacher. I'm at Christmas. I'm thinking the babe of Bethlehem. And the babe of Bethlehem seems so far removed from the preacher teacher that we focused on all this fall, who seems so far removed from the Christ that we focus on Holy Week, wearing the crown of thorns, who seems so far removed to the risen Christ, who seems so far removed from the circuit rider with dirty feet. And I'm not the only one. Mary and Joseph discovered Christ, their son at 12 years old, dialoguing with the religious leaders, and they're wondering about this. Whoa, where'd this come from? And I just want to say, don't you remember Bethlehem? Come on, guys. And then Jesus, early in his ministry, the very beginning of his ministry, his mom, Mary, thinks he has gone off the deep end. And I always want to say, wait a minute, you were there when the angel announced his conception. You were there he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, the miracle birth. Think of the Magi who came bringing gifts for a king. And the scripture tells us, Mary, you treasured these things in your heart. But it's hard. It's hard to see who Jesus really is. And if Mary's confused, we can expect to have a hard time. Now, I think all this shows how easy it is to pigeonhole even the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't even call him by that name except when I'm dealing with Handel's Messiah. But that's who he is. Now, I'm about to show you two of my favorite all-time pictures of my family. It was taken 7 years ago. Yeah, they don't know it's coming. Kim and the guys went to the T-Rex encounter at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. And through modern technology, Tyrannosaurus Rex, the king tyrant lizard, is inserted behind them and is about to attack. And the nice lady snaps a picture, and for $7.95, you can take the picture home. Now, if you ever had your picture taken at the DMV before you were ready, or you're taking the selfie and you press the button when it's only halfway up, you know how Kim and the guys feel about the first picture. They weren't ready. There they are. Imagine, if you will, about being so casual that the king tyrant lizard, the baddest, the meanest, the harshest, the toughest, the yikesest predator of all time is about to attack you, 2 feet away. And as Matt said at the time, and they seem so happy about it. Fortunately, the nice lady taking the pictures that day let them do a do-over. And the second picture reflects just how you would be. Okay, Mark, we can take those down. Each and every Sunday, whether we're focusing on the babe of Bethlehem, the rabbi, the miracle worker, the Lamb of God, the crucified or risen, we come to church and meet Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We meet the King of Glory, God incarnate, God in human flesh, Savior, Messiah. And we should be thrilled. Every moment that we're here, we should be thrilled. And we should just be a little edgy. At the same time, honestly, on Sunday mornings, we can be concerned with such mundane things. Name it for yourself. I, for one, find myself focusing on coffee or getting the microphone turned on, or when I have communion, making sure that the cup and the pitcher and the plate are equidistant apart. It bugs me if it doesn't. We get distracted. I get distracted. And I don't think I'm the only one. If someone snapped our picture before we were ready for worship, or as we're getting ready, or during worship, would we look like we're greeting the King of Glory, or would we need a do-over? And thanks be to God, in Jesus Christ, we constantly have do-overs forever. Now, I'm a word guy. Some people are fascinated by numbers. They can remember their phone number when they were in junior high and they lived there for 1 year, Kim. Others breeze through evil Sudoku puzzles. Not me. I struggle when somebody asks me my phone number. I don't even know the church's phone number after a year and a half. And I struggle to get to first base on an easy Sudoku. But I'm a word guy. I love words. And reading our vine and branches passage today, abide, always jumps out at me. Abide, abide, abide. 24 times in the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, of the New Testament, abide appears 24 times. It appears in our 10 verses, 11 of those 24 times. Jesus' command, abide in me as I abide in you. You cannot bear fruit unless you abide in me. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Keep my commandments and you abide in my love. Abide in my love and you will abide in the Father's love. Now there's only one response to this perfect abiding love on Sunday morning, and it isn't focusing on our sports scores from the weekend, even if it's Matt's scores when he's shooting. It is to abide in Jesus Christ. I'm a word guy, so I had to look up exactly what abide means. Comply with. Hard word for Americans. Obey. Observe. Follow. Hold on to. Conform to. Adhere to. Stick to. Stand by. Act in accordance with the mind of Christ. We'll talk about that Tuesday night. Uphold. Another hard American word, heed, listen, and do. Accept, acknowledge, respect, and defer to. In other words, realize you are in the presence of the King of Glory this morning and every day of your life, and abide to that presence. Conform, respect, heed, defer to. Worship and serve the King of Kings. Now, we must try to set everything else aside so we can just simply cry out to the King of Ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Amen. I just want to start singing with Chris Tomlin right now. You are my King. Or jump into Handel's Messiah. At the same time, it isn't just about singing. It isn't just about speaking to the King of Glory. It has to be more than crying out. It has to be living out. Jesus calls us out. He literally calls us out here. This is so cool. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear fruit. Do something with it. And the scriptures are overflowing with followers doing their best. Paul gave his most brilliant writing and best rhetorical skills. Peter gave him exceeding passion and unparalleled enthusiasm. John gave him all of his considerable love. Mary Magdalene, her ever faithfulness. Luke 8 tells us that Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Suzanne and the other women cared for him out of their means. They gave their strongest financial support. The centurion whose daughter Jesus rescued gave Jesus all his belief and begged for more. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. In Acts 9, we see Dorcas, also known as Tabitha, giving her devotion by sewing clothes for others. The poor widow gave just 2 coins, everything. The Magi gave the very best that you give a king, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And thy simple question to myself and to each and every one of us this morning is, what gift will I give to Jesus today? What is the best that I have? And how can I share that with the King of Glory? How can I give homage and love and honor and glory to Jesus Christ? We've come to the end of our 7 weeks of focusing on the abundance of covenant church. And for the first time, I'm going to use the word money. How can I give, heading into Advent and Christmas, the best of my monetary gifts? And giving, of course, isn't just money. What is it I can give to Jesus Christ as I prepare for Christmas and the new year? How can I serve him to the best of my ability in this new church year? What is the best I can bring before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, my God and my Savior? The King of Glory gave us everything, fruit in abundance. What are you prepared to give back to him in abundance, what he's given to us? John 15 continues with verse 13, and you all know it. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And we live that out every Sunday. Every Sunday we live it out at the table. And now, how are you prepared to live into this abiding love of Jesus Christ our Lord? Ruth?